Welcome to Guy Next Door Speaks. I'm your host, Ivan from Phoenix. My website is freeyourmindaz.com. This is episode number 3, recorded on Sunday, May 26, 2013. Today I have a special guest, Mark Passio, and we're going to discuss just a few things here for the general public, because most of the listeners of my show already know the information that I try and share, but I'm also trying to get people who aren't aware of this information to, I'm trying to reach people who don't know about this information. So I'm going to be recording this audio show on CDs and handing it out to everyday people as I come across them at bus stops or like at the local Walmart and stuff like that. So it's been a few months since the last podcast. This is not my main thing, so this is something I just do once in a while. So I'm just going to go ahead and get started then. Mark, welcome to the show. If you can just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, a brief little history, and we'll take it from there.
Ivan, thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. It's a pleasure to be here today.
All right, thank you.
So I've been doing a podcast, a radio show in the past, and now in the form of a podcast for a couple of years. It's called What on Earth is Happening. This is on my website at whatonearthishappening.com, and it contains a lot of research about what is taking place in our world. It is information about human consciousness and how consciousness operates. It is information about the events that are taking place in our world that are restricting at an ever greater level and an ever rapiding pace our freedom. And if we don't want to lose our freedom altogether, people really need to sit up and take notice of how many different methods of manipulating the human mind, the human consciousness, actually works, because all the power that these centralized control groups in government and in banking institutions and religion, all the power that they want to take and all the power that they are holding that power is acquiesced by the people. It's given away. People are externalizing their own power and giving it to these people willingly because they won't stand up and say no, because they don't know enough to say no. They don't have enough knowledge about human rights. They don't know the true difference between right and wrong. And that loss of morality is what is leading to the loss of freedom in our world. And this is the main body of information that I attempt to share with people. I attempt to explain to them the why of why this is actually occurring. If you don't understand the causal factor for why something negative or destructive is happening in the world, you can never really solve it by looking at the symptoms and trying to treat the symptoms. It's like modern medicine trying to treat the symptoms of a disease instead of understanding the causal factor of a disease and then treating the problem from that level, which will actually affect a different result. And it will actually help to cure the problem instead of just treat the problem. So that's what my body of information largely tries to do. It gets down to the deep fundamental philosophical understanding for why something is taking place. And that is all within. That is within the individuals in a society. It's nothing that we can solve by working on external symptoms. It's something that we have to go within us and solve the problem from an internal point of view. And that's something that many people don't want to hear, because they want to hear that the problem exists outside of them and they're not contributing to it in any way through their belief system, their very belief system. What you hold in your mind about what is real actually contributes to the problems that are taking place in the world. People don't want to hear that, because the last thing people want to change is how they think. They want to hear it's all somebody else's problem, it's all someone else's fault. But when you tell them that the problem is how you are currently thinking, okay, then people want to run away from that because that implies a great deal of personal responsibility for your own thoughts, your own emotions, and most of all, your own actions in how you're supporting these systems of control. So that's the main body of the information that I share. And you could find all of that work at my website, whatonearthishappening.com. And for people who are new to this information, I highly recommend that you take it slowly at your own pace and proceed in order. Go to the podcast page. That's what I highly recommend people starting with. The videos are a nice little overview and an introduction, but the podcasts go very in-depth. And if you start at podcast number one and work your way forward at your own pace, you will see that the world is not what you originally imagined it to be. And this will open up your mind and open up your consciousness if you can approach the information with an open mind in a way that you can listen to it and consider it without at first immediately accepting anything or immediately rejecting anything. Just listen with an open mind and the tapestry will eventually become clear if you, stay the course and listen to into future episodes.
Very good, Mark. For those who are new to this, what signs or what everyday things can they look for to give validity to what you're saying? You know, because a lot of this is, we can say mind control and the wool that's been pulled over everybody's eyes, but and right away they'll say, oh, you're crazy, conspiracy theorist, you don't know what you're talking about. But what are just a few little things in everyday life that people can, you know, in their own experiences start to contemplate and reflect and say, oh, wait a minute, I never looked at it this way. Well, what are a few things you would suggest to people to look at?
One of the things is to be aware of patterns that take place whenever anything negative occurs, whenever anything destructive or, let's say, a mass death event occurs in our world. Regardless of what you want to think about what where that event came from, who caused it, who did it, why it was done, you have to look at the pattern that occurs in the aftermath. People who have any level of power or control over other people want one thing, more power and control. This is a natural tendency when you put people in a position of power that they want to accrue more and more. So what you can look at, one of the first things that can really help people to understand what's going on and wake them up is what happens in the aftermath of any given tragedy that occurs in our society. You will see politicians, you will see lawmakers, you will see people who are in these positions of so-called power always attempting to use, and it, regardless of the type of disaster or the type of tragedy that occurs, you will always see them trying to use the event as a justification to take more power and to take more freedom away from people, to take more freedom away from your average individual in society. You have to open your eyes to that pattern and recognize that that's not an accident. That's a deliberate effort that is taking place. And they'll always tell people that, oh, we want to preserve freedom and we're trying to protect people. We're trying to make you more safe. This is how this age-old tactic of manipulation works, to tell people that they're attempting to keep them safe while what they're really doing is taking their rights away. Okay? And this is done through emotional plays on people. If you're not emotionally streetwise, you're going to fall for this tactic every time. You have to understand that what people in these positions of power do not have is your best interests in mind. They don't have your freedom in mind. What they want to do is take as much power and control over other people as they can for themselves. And it's a very naive thing to think about people in these positions of government and finance, etc., as having the interests of the people in mind. And this is something that when people come into a dependency mindset that someone else should be taking care of them, you'll find this attitude very prevalent that, well, I am going to these institutions for help or assistance, and so there's something that is good for me. There's something that cares about me. When in fact, what they're always trying to do is create more dependency upon them so that people become completely dependent and they can't exercise independence in their own lives. That's the ultimate form of control, is when people think that they need institutions of control. So they're all too happy to reel the line out to you and get you hooked so that you'll think, well, this institution is here for my benefit and it cares about me. It cares about my life and my family. When in fact, that's a tactic. That's a technique to get people reeled in. And again, these events that occur that affect people's lives in a negative way and cause destruction or devastation in their lives, it's always seized upon by these people who are looking for any in to take more power for themselves and take more rights away from people as an opportunity to exercise more draconian controls over society. This is a pattern that happens over and over again. You can see it if you pay attention. If you don't just listen to the official storyline on any given piece of news, if you look into alternative media and understand that there's other points of view happening, and you don't have to accept any given point of view from any one individual. You need to look at the pattern. That's the thing. That's what consciousness is, the ability to recognize patterns that are taking place not only around you in your environment, but most of all and most importantly, inside your own self, how you react to things and how you perceive any given events that are taking place around you and going on inside of you, your emotional makeup, your psychological makeup. Most people never want to look at any of that stuff because it's hard work. Working on the self is very difficult. It isn't easy work. It's something that most people want to run away from because they don't like different aspects of themselves or they feel inadequate in certain ways about themselves. Well, that's the true work that needs to be done, is to work through all those unresolved issues that are nested in the human psyche and unresolved traumas that are nested in the human psyche, largely because of a lot of the events that are occurring in our world and the type of society that we live in. If we don't do that work internally, we're going to be externalizing our power to other people, giving that power away in that state of fear and in that state of trauma. And that's exactly what psychopathic people who have gravitated to positions of power want us to do. So that's my recommendation, is to understand how the general tactic works. It's manipulation through fear. It's taking advantage of an existing situation that was traumatic to begin with, and then manipulating people into externalizing their power and giving more of it to the people who really just want to seize the opportunity to take more power for themselves. That's all people have to really ultimately become aware of. Once you become aware of that pattern, you recognize the people who are in control right now don't give a damn about the people. They don't care about you. They're not here to help you. They're not here to protect you. They're not here to keep you safe. They're not here for your security. They're here to put you in chains. That's what their goal is to do. Power only ever wants more power for itself. It's all about control. The name of the game is control. And the only way that can be done is if people are so ignorant about what's going on both within them, in their psychological makeup and their emotional makeup, and they're ignorant as to what's taking place around them regarding larger patterns, larger societal patterns, and they don't read and they don't take in information from an eclectic, meaning a vastly varied, a wide variety of sources. You need to take in information from an eclectic variety of sources. If you don't do that and you're only getting your information from the five major corporations that control all the news outlets and all the newspapers that you get to hear, see, or read, then you are being lured into a cul-de-sac, going around and around in a circle, never hearing anything outside of that very scripted official story variant of what's taking place in the world. And you're never really seeing the true picture. You're not seeing the wider picture, the wider pattern. When you exist in that kind of a completely controlled mind state, when you exist inside of that mind state where you're drinking from the poisoned well, so to speak, okay? You're only taking information from the sources of propaganda, and you're not looking at what really is, regardless of how uncomfortable that may make you feel. You're going to be easily manipulated. That's all it comes down to. People who don't have information from a wide, eclectic variety of sources are going to be easily manipulated because they've been essentially firewalled off. They've been cut off and kept in a little box for what they can perceive. And that's the goal. That's the goal of the media. They want to keep people in this isolated little box of awareness that they don't, that in that box, they are unable to see the big picture about what's going on around them. And so they will easily be manipulated by these fear tactics and easily externalize their power to someone else. That's the name of the game.
Right, right. And, you know, synchronistically, you mentioned propaganda, and I have a little paragraph here I wanted to read that coincides with what you're talking about, because it spreads not only into government and fear with the police and so forth, but it's in everything as far as commercialism, material, education, all kinds of stuff. So it's a little paragraph here from Propaganda by Edward Bernays, and it goes like this. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind.
And there it is. Mm-hmm. There it is. From one of the world's premier social engineers of the early 20th century, who, along with Walter Lippmann and foreign think tanks like Tavistock Institute of Human Relations and Chatham House in England, were largely responsible for fomenting the rise of communism. So you're hearing it right from the horse's mouth. This is a social engineer. He's telling you the way that they do this is they have more knowledge about how the human psyche operates. He said it right in that paragraph that you read. They do this because of their knowledge of how the human psyche operates. And when you have deep manipulative psychologists, which is what these people ultimately are, these social engineers, and they know everything about how the mind operates, and the masses of people know nothing about how the mind operates, you don't think that that's going to be easily turned into a differential in power, where these people are going to manipulate until they have all the power? And the people who don't have the knowledge that they have are going to be left powerless because they don't even understand what's being done to them, because they don't understand the manipulatory tactics that are being used against them, primarily because they understand nothing about the human mind and human psychology. Right. And this is what we're up against. So the answer is always to learn more about the self, learn more about how we work. How does the mind work? What are the different aspects of consciousness? What do we need to do to improve upon ourselves and to be able to tell truth from falsehood? What do we need to know about laws that are operating in the world that are not put there by man, that are not made by humanity? that are largely unseen because we never delve into looking for any information about such things. Natural law, you know, about how the dynamics of right and wrong, morality, how those dynamics work to bring us the experience that we are having based upon our choices of behaviors. And that's why the world's in the situation that it's in. We don't want to learn all of those dynamics. We don't want to learn about ourselves. We don't want to learn about right from wrong. And so we're ultimately putting ourselves in a cage through the refusal of that information, through the refusal of that knowledge. Willfully remaining ignorant is always going to put us into a deeper and into deeper and deeper bondage.
I agree. The reason I brought up that that I asked you how people can see it in everyday life mm-hmm. is because I noticed this a few years ago where I work during the Christmas holidays. There's a lot of productivity, a lot of stuff going on where I work at. And I noticed one day walking out how the people were very, you know, just very hyper, very, they really wanted to get this done. And it kind of looked, in a way, it was kind of good for me. I was like, wow, okay, these people are really, you know, putting their heart and soul into this. But then on the other side, I was thinking, wow, if they were to do that for something that really mattered, for something that really had importance, instead of just this corporate profit, then things would be different. But yet, since this is their livelihood, this is their paycheck, this is what puts food on the table, they're really gunning it and pushing and pushing. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting how these people have in their mindset the importance of this irrelevant activity that doesn't affect, I always say it doesn't affect the, you know, rotation of the earth, the flowing of water, you know, the air, you know, but yet they act like if the world will end if they didn't do this job. And those are some of the little things that I notice in everyday life, as far as like work and things like that, that people are completely disconnected from themselves, what matters to them. Because, you know, these people, sure. they punch out and they go home and it's like, you know, oh, I don't have time to do what I want and things like that. But yet there's the mind control. There's the system in place.
Yep. And it's all part of them externalizing their power. And it's also the dynamic at work here is also what their value system is. Their value system, if and people will get offended by this, and I really don't care. Get as offended as you want. Their value system is based upon money. That's what they think real value is. Now, if you tried to press them and say, what's your value system all about? They will lie. They will lie. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, most people will lie about what their value system is. They'll tell you that their value system is about family or integrity or honesty or a good work ethic. Most people's value system in this world is about one thing and one thing only. And this is the god of most people on this planet, and that is money. That's quite simply the case. Whether you want to acknowledge it, whether you want to admit it or not, that's the case. Okay, so they do think the world will come apart if they don't do this because money is their god. That is everything to them. Whether they admit it at a conscious level or not, it doesn't matter. See, people will deny things and bury the truth in the subconscious mind because it's so troubling and so traumatizing that they'll go into a state of psychological denial about what the truth about their makeup actually is, their mindset and their constitution, their actual makeup of their person, their whole personality. They don't want to acknowledge that because acknowledging that your main value system has very little, if anything, to do with what is right or wrong and has almost everything to do with a paper god. Does that not really truly mean that they are bad people in their heart? That they're not good. It does mean that. As far as I'm concerned, that's what it means. As harsh and nasty as that may sound, coming out of my mouth as plainly as I'm trying to say it, that's what it really means, folks. That's what a bad person is. A bad person is someone who really, deeply, in their everyday life, places money above people and above of all else places it above right and wrong. And that's what we're really seeing going on in our world. A true value system based in morality. See, we consider how successful a person is in life based on how much money they have in their bank account, what kind of a house they live in, or what kind of a car they drive, or what kind of clothes they wear. But we don't look at, are you a moral individual? Are you good to other people? Do you not hurt others? Do you not defraud others? Do you not steal from others? Do you not lie to others? We largely never even consider this when we're saying, what kind of a person is this person? And people will lie and they'll try to say, oh, no, that's not my value system. Nonsense. That's the vast majority of people's value system. Let me tell you something. Out in the open, let's make it personal. I'll tell people, my whole family, almost every single, not every, but I would say the vast majority of my own family, their value system is based in money and not goodness, not real values, real morals. They care more about money than anything else in life. And they'll tell you that they don't. And they're liars. They're liars. So, you know, I think we just need to put it so plainly and out in the open that this is what humanity has become. This isn't our nature. It's not our nature. People confuse nature and condition. Nature is a whole different game, a whole different ball of wax from what the current condition has become. So people want to talk about, Mark, you're going to say that human nature is just bad. No, absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what we have allowed the human condition to become is terrible. But that's not what our true nature is. I'm suggesting that we try to heal this and get back to the true nature, which is a healthy psyche that has true morals at the center of its value system, a deep understanding between right and wrong that is valued above all else. When we do that, then all of these external problems will disappear organically, quickly too, because we will be acting in right instead of continuing to try to chase a paper god, and in doing so, doing all kinds of wrongs to each other. That's what this is all about, and this is the information no one really wants to hear. They don't want to hear it, because that involves changing how you think and behave in the world regarding other people, and how you look at yourself, your own level of self-respect. People stay in jobs that they loathe and hate and detest, doing things with their time, wasting their time, which is wasting their life, doing things they don't want to be doing. You could see it in your everyday life. Just go to any place where you have to engage with someone else that is part of a system of service in some way, and you see what kind of attitude that most people have. They don't want to be there doing that job.
Right.
Now you also get the other end of the spectrum. You will see people that take pride in what they do. That this is what they want to do, and they take pride in their work. You know, and you could see the difference in the personality. You could see some people, they know this isn't what I should be doing, and you shouldn't be. If that's how you feel, you should do something else. It doesn't matter what it is. If you have to be poor, if you have to be destitute for a time, don't insult your soul because you're worried about what your living conditions are going to be like for a time. That can be reversed. And people will say, oh, that's easy for someone to say. No, it isn't. I understand what I'm saying to people. I get how difficult it can be. The whole point is people keep doing things that they really don't want to be doing with their life because of the monolithic monetary system that is in place. It's insulting to their soul. It's insulting to themselves at a soul level, and they can't develop the self-respect to say no. I will not continue to waste my time, my life, to do this. I mean, you see it with people who are in the control system, and you can even tell their heart's not in it. And some people, their heart really is in it. They're gung-ho. Their mind is so brainwashed that they, you know, they think they are the power structure. And what it is really those people are just damaged little children.
I know where you're going with this. Well, I'm going to lead into that here in a few minutes. But what you're talking about now, dominion, that's a word that I always keep coming back to, is dominion. When you talk about the self and right and wrong, and it is how you conduct yourself, your dominion over yourself, free right. dominion and wise dominion. And I posted on my website a little 2-minute video clip from the movie Instinct, where that pretty much answers it gives an answer that will provide solutions to a lot of the problems on the world, where we have one of the main characters say, can mankind give up dominion? And it's dominion over this planet and each other. That's right. The main thing, dominion. And we need to get it back, dominion over oneself, and not let that's anybody right. control us and tell us what to do and what's valuable and what isn't valuable.
We have to get out of the false paradigm of control altogether. And that means not wanting to hold dominion over other people, not wanting to control them, to be a controller, and not wanting to be controlled. Refusal to accept someone else's claim of dominion over you, which so many people are so willing to do. You know, they believe in taxation as somehow legitimate when it's all collected by violence, and it is not voluntary at all. They believe in prohibition, that someone else can have a right somehow to tell them what they may or may not put into their own body, regardless of what they do in the aftermath of having put a substance in their body. The very act of putting a substance into your body means you're doing something to yourself. And if your body belongs to you, no one else can tell you that you cannot do that.
Right.
If your body doesn't belong to you, then someone can tell you what you can put into it or not put into it. And that is slavery. If someone else owns your physical body, that's called slavery. Just like if someone else owns the product of your labor and can take as much as they say they are allowed to take, that's slavery. And this is what we need to understand. We are either engaging in slavery or we are supporting slavery when we play the game of control. If you try to claim dominion over someone else, you're playing the role of the slave owner, which is always morally wrong. And if you say that the slave owner has some form of moral legitimacy to do what he's doing, then you're playing the role of the slave who wants to continue to be the slave and wants to advocate slavery for all the other slaves.
Right, right.
And both of those things are morally wrong. And we have to understand that what this whole thing is about is ending slavery. When people ask me really what my website is, give me in a nutshell. I want the quick soundbite version of what you do. I tell them that what I stand against is all forms of slavery. And what the information on my website is trying to do is end slavery. Because slavery is always morally wrong, and it has not been defeated. It is still alive and well in the world, and most human beings think that it is okay for it to continue. As a matter of fact, most human beings are so brainwashed, they think that it must indefinitely continue. That it is a requirement of life on the earth that people remain in slavery.
Right.
And people will say, oh my God, how could you say that? You think that's what people think? No, I know that's what people think.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand that government, taxation, prohibition, all of these things are all forms of slavery. They don't grasp it. Even the financial system, the monetary system, is a form of slavery. And they don't understand that. They think that those things are not slavery because right. they haven't thought about it at a deep enough philosophical level. They're looking at it, well, this system does this for people, but they're not looking at how does this system do this. It's always through the point of a gun, always through violence, always through coercion, always through telling you, you must do this or we will come at you with violence. If you're honest with yourself, if you're looking at how it really is, not how you want it to be, not how you wish for it to be, not how you want to see it, You got to get your biases, your emotional biases have to be taken out of the way temporarily so that you can see what's really taking place for what it is, truthfully, honestly, without any emotional attachment to it. That's what becoming aware of this control system requires. That's right, what Mark, it's all about. Yes.
I wanted to add that again, all this is connected because, like I asked you in the beginning, how can people see this in everyday life? And I would think everyone's gone to school and learned a little bit of history. But if you had any bit of logical thinking, you would see how when we talk about the Egyptians, the Pharaoh and his soldiers and then all the workers, and we move into Rome and we had the Caesar and his Roman guards and then all the rest of the workers and slaves. And then we come to today where we have, whether it's a prime minister, a queen, a president, their secret service, and then all the rest of the workers, nothing has changed. Yes. That's when you're awake. Like you say, there's nothing new under the sun. So it's not something where, well, we're the democracy and everything's fine and just hard times and we're going through an economic. No, this is the way things have been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Right. And every time someone tries to wake up and change, call attention to it, that's when those systems collapse and come up like brand new, like, oh, look, it's something different, but it's the same thing wearing right. a different mask.
And this is what people have to come to understand. It's always been about controlling people, and the only way you can control mass groups of people is to control their mind, to control their beliefs, what they think and believe. In order to do that, you can't have a truly educated population. You have to keep people ignorant and focused on minutiae and focused on trivia. Trivial things in life, entertainment, sports, television, games. You can't have them looking at philosophical discussions. How many people think that it's okay for this to continue? That's one of my big questions. People that you ask people in your life, even people who will listen to this on the internet or on disc, most people think it is okay because it has, they'll say, oh, that's been going on for thousands of years. That doesn't make it right. That's like saying murder's been going on for thousands of years, so that's okay. It's okay that continues to go on. It's not okay. It needs to change. We need to work to change it.
Right.
And there's a reason it continues, is because we're not teaching our future generations, we are not teaching our young a true system of moral values. We are teaching them to want to accrue their paper god called money over anything else. That's the value system we're instilling in our children.
Profits over people.
That's right. If that's your value system, you are already in chains. You are already a slave. Your consciousness is already locked down so tight that you could never possibly ever free yourself until you change that way of thinking. And this is the problem. You have so many people that think this is okay to continue because it's been going on for so long. They're resolved that nothing can be done about it. And that's the exact level of thinking that these total, sick, psychopathic control freaks want people to be in. If people think that this cannot ever be changed, it won't be. Because it's ultimately being created in the aggregate by what people are holding in their mind, their belief system. You have to believe, you have to want, you have to have the desire to change this. Believe that it can be changed and then act in that capacity. Because it can be changed if enough people understand at a philosophical level that this is inherently morally wrong and should not be allowed to continue. They have to care about what's right and wrong over caring about money or security. And this means security in their jobs, security in their way of life. Maybe that might have to be given up in order to change this. See, that's what no one wants to hear. You might have to have the willingness to quit your job, even if you don't have another job lined up. And again, people say, Mark, you don't understand what you're asking people. Yes, I do fully understand what I'm asking people. You might need to quit your job with no other line of income coming in for you or your family in order to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. And the whole point, people won't do that because all they're focused on is the physical. The physical aspects of themselves. Thinking that that's all that's important, that's all there is. As long as this physical need is met, that's all that matters. At the expense of the soul. Your soul is going into a huge cosmic meat grinder as a result of the things you're supporting and still doing. I tried to hand a flyer for the exposing the total
hold on. Before you get into that, let me segue into that, and I'll lead you right into what you were about to talk about.
Okay,
connecting all this together again, because like I always say, everything is connected. Before I came across your information several years ago, I attended a midnight showing of a movie in a big shopping center. And after the movie, I was out in the parking lot with a friend. We were chit-chatting about 2 a.m., and here comes a security guard, drives around a few times, sees us standing out there. We're not harming anyone, no victims of anything, but yet here comes this security guard, a rent-a-cop, and starts telling us we need to leave. And I, you know, instinctually something was telling me, that's not right. What do you mean? We're not doing anything. Well, no, you need to leave the property and we're closed. And I'm like, well, this is open land, open property, United States, hello. And right away he gets on this little walkie-talkie piece and starts calling for like backup or call the local police and stuff. I'm like, wow, look at this situation. So that is a little microcosm of a little security guard exuding some kind of authority to tell me that I can't be someplace because this big corporation, all these stores there, I'm a threat somehow. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So that kind of woke me up to, you're not really free. We're not really free if somebody can tell you when you can and cannot be someplace or you're trespassing and so forth. And now this leads to what you were about to talk about, your freedom of doing what you want, where you want, and how you want.
Right. And, you know, to go back to the dynamic that these people are continuing to do this, to follow their orders because they're receiving a paycheck to do it. And so their value system cannot be anything that is based on freedom or that is based on right and wrong. Their value system is based on how much money do I get to do this? That's it. That's what they value. That's their idea of value. I do this action, I get this much money to do this action, and that's it. I don't think about what I'm being asked to do. So just before I get to the main story about what happened, I just want to talk about the lead up to it. We were at a rally to bring awareness to the public through a march and an information sharing through flyering. What the Federal Reserve System is and what it is doing to the people of America, how it is keeping them destitute, how it is it's a scam, basically. It is a scam that people need to understand how the scam operates in order to realize how they're being held back, how they're being held down. And most people don't understand this because they think that the Federal Reserve is some kind of a governmental agency and it has, you know, it's being, you know, regulated and has government oversight and it's doing what the, you know, it's has the best interest of the people in mind. And once again, nothing could possibly be further from the truth in that regard. The Federal Reserve is a Ponzi scheme, essentially. The Federal Reserve System of the Central Bank of the United States is what I'm referring to here. So there was a rally outside the Federal Reserve Bank, and then there was a march in Philadelphia last week along Market Street to City Hall of Philadelphia in Center City. and then back to the Federal Reserve area. So I took part in that march and did public outreach to people in the form of simple, very simple, half-page flyers. So here's what the flyer said. It said, "And the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank, keeping the poor poor since 1913. Then there was a small list of quick facts about the Federal Reserve System, that because of what the Federal Reserve's monetary policy is, that the dollar has lost 95% of its purchasing power. People think that goods and services are constantly going up in price year over year. Well, yes, that may be true, but there's a reason. That's because the purchasing power of the unit of currency called the United States dollar is going down in value directly because of the monetary policy of the Federal Reserve called inflation, which is printing money when it's backed by nothing, and therefore you're making the money less valuable. And therefore, it takes more of those units to buy the same amount of goods and services year over year. That's why we have to spend twice as much as we used to at the grocery store to get the same amount of fruits and vegetables that we used to get." Okay, so this is what's causing this. And this is a hidden form of theft. Your savings, your earnings are being stolen from. Because when they do this, you get a paycheck that's the same amount, basically, and then you can't buy the same amount of goods and services. So you've been stolen from. That's a hidden form of theft through fraud. This is defrauding people of the purchasing power of their earnings, which is a crime. If we did this to the monetary supply, we would be jailed. But because bankers, who politicians have said, you have the right to do this, no action is taken against them. The police are negligent in their duty. They're not arresting these criminals. These are financial criminals. Okay, so that's what this flyer essentially said. It had a couple of other facts. I won't belabor people with some of the other, you know, lines that were on the flyer. But that's really all it was talking about. You're being robbed from, in a hidden way, because of what the Federal Reserve's, the central bank called the Federal Reserve's monetary policy is. And this is true. It's not my opinion. You could go and type in Federal Reserve into YouTube and learn all about how the Fed operates, you know, and see that they're keeping you poor. You're poor because of what they do. So that's what the flyer was. And I would say this is beyond just a free speech issue, because we were doing more than exercising a right to free speech. We were exercising a duty to warn other people in a moral capacity when a fraud is taking place against them that affects the quality of their life. That's beyond a right. That is even beyond a right. That's a duty in conscience. When you know someone is being defrauded, you have a duty to inform them that they are being defrauded in that capacity. So this goes beyond even a human right of free speech. This is a duty of people to do if they understand that this is being done. So that's what we were doing. And I just want to, before I get to the main story, say I encountered an employee of the Federal Reserve Bank when we were on this march. She was an older African-American woman who was standing outside of Philadelphia City Hall on the other side of the street from the City Hall building. And as the line of rally marchers passed, I attempted to hand her this flyer, which explained how the Federal Reserve Bank is committing fraud. And I didn't know that's what who she worked for. I just asked her, "Would you like a flyer?" And she said, "No, I don't want one because I work for them." I said, "Really? You work at the Federal Reserve Bank on 6th and Arch Streets here in Philadelphia?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Well, do you understand how their scam to defraud people of their earnings works?" And she said, "I know how evil those people are, but that's my job."
Oh, my goodness.
That's what she said. She said, admitted wow. to me, "I know these people are all evil. And I go there every day and put in a full 8-hour day of work for people that I know who are evil." And I immediately felt so sick and sorry for her at a soul level at a level of the soul, disgusted at the physical and human level that someone could possibly know that and still do that job. But at a soul level, I felt so there's no words. I can't even express words at how sad I am for someone that's how insulted they will allow their soul to become for money. And if people think that's somehow right or should continue, I don't know what to think. I mean, that I feel as equally sorry for them that's how destroyed their soul is. And I'm not saying this person's soul is completely, utterly destroyed and cannot be rebuilt if she so desires it. But where it's at now is pretty much in the cosmic trash bin. And I said to her, let me just give you one thing to look up. And out of all the things I could have asked her to look up, I didn't ask her to even look up anything about the Federal Reserve, because she already knows. I said, look up the concept in many Eastern traditions, but specifically it's usually referred to as a Buddhist concept in Buddhism. I said, just look up, type into any search engine on the internet, right livelihood, the concept of right livelihood, that there is a way to make a living and provide for yourself and your family that you can do so in a moral capacity where you're not harming or defrauding someone else. And then there is something as unrighteous livelihood, where you are doing something that you know is wrong, and yet you're continuing to do it for money. Just look that concept up if anyone's not familiar with it. Right livelihood, it's called. And then there's such a thing as unrighteous livelihood, which means you are knowingly cooperating with something that is wrong just because you're being paid to do it. And that's not an excuse. I do not accept the excuse that she has a family to provide for. That's not an excuse. Anyone who is an apologist in that regard is just as guilty, because you're letting evil off the hook. You're saying evil should go on unchallenged just because it's willing to pay people and therefore provide for their families, what their families need. No, wrong, wrong. And absolutely no excuse for continuing to behave like that. So I said, you really should familiarize yourself. You don't want to take this flyer from me because of how guilty you feel over working for people that you say you know are bad. You don't even want to, you know, learn more about how their scam works. At least go on the internet and look up what you're doing to yourself. Look up the concept of right livelihood. And that person, I will say, people will say, well, who are you to judge somebody? Who are you to say? Yeah, I know the difference between right and wrong. That's what gives me the right to say that person should quit their job. Should quit their job. And I don't care how judgmental you think listening to this, that statement is. That's the right thing to tell someone. This is the problem in America and throughout the world. We won't call each other on our wrongdoing. When people are told over and over and over and over by someone who is in the right, what you are doing is wrong. You haven't the right. You should stop doing this. You should start doing something else that is within your right to do. If enough people, an amount of people were doing that work, things would start to change.
Critical mass.
Right. But enough people won't step into that dynamic, largely because they're doing things that are wrong themselves, and two, they don't want the conflict. See, they want to stay in the conflict-free zone. I don't want to stir up the hornet's nest. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want confrontation with other people. And this is a big part of what the New Age movement teaches. Never tell anybody they're wrong. Never tell anybody you should. This is nonsense. This is what's keeping the dynamic the way it is. It's what's keeping things the way they are, in the state of wrong and in the state of violence that they are in. And in the state of the perpetuation of theft from other people. And I would say to that person, you should quit your job. Especially that you know what you're a part of. Especially when you know what you're a part of. It's unbelievable that someone could say, I know that I am working for people who are evil. She used the word evil. That's not my word. She said, I know they're evil. She said that openly, honestly, admitted it. But I need the money. I know they're evil, but I need the money. This is where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. If this is where we're at, if that's people's value system, do you not honestly think that we deserve our chains?
Mm-hmm. That's your reality show. That's your Walking Dead reality show.
I can't pick up for anyone. How could I possibly pick up for anyone in that state of mind? I can't. If that's the majority of how human beings think, humanity deserves its chains. And I'll be the first to say it. We can't break these chains until we change who we are. When we change who we are, that's when the chains will fall off. The chains of slavery and serfdom will fall off when we become moral people by changing who we are. That's why the chains have gone on to humanity, because we stopped being moral. And we accepted a false god as the main part of our value system. So what happened after this march is what Ivan's been referring to. We were getting ready to go home because Barb had to work that night. My wife is a nurse in a cardiovascular unit at the Presbyterian Hospital here in Philadelphia. And she had to work that evening, so she wanted to get some rest before going to work, because she works a 12-hour shift. And we were getting ready to walk toward the subway, but we were going to go around and just hand some flyers out to people waiting in line at the Liberty Bell. So we were walking about this was last Saturday, May 18th, 3 o'clock p.m. this occurred. We're walking from Market Street to Chestnut Street, which is where the Liberty Bell is at, between 5th and 6th streets in Philadelphia. And as we were walking, we didn't even stop. We set nothing up. We had a couple flyers left in our hand because we handed out hundreds of them during the day on the march up and down Market Street. And we had a few flyers left in our hand. We said, let's get rid of these last few flyers and just, you know, try to make these people who are standing in line at the Liberty Bell aware. Imagine that. You know, you would think people at the Liberty Bell would want to understand about freedom and want to understand about an institution that is trying to destroy freedom in America, the Federal Reserve System. And many people did take them from us. You know, some people refused. We forced no information on anyone. Never do. We never try to put flyers into people's hands. We hold them out, tell people briefly, learn about the Federal Reserve System. Here you go. If they want to take it, they can take it. Not coercing anyone. Making sure that none of these flyers are littered. If one of them happened to fly out of my hand because a gust of wind came up, I would go and find the flyer, go and chase the flyer so that nothing was littering the ground. Doing nothing wrong, engaging people with free speech. If anyone asked, I would briefly tell them about the Fed and ask them to look it up. Say, please look up the Federal Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve System. Look it up on YouTube is the best way to look it up. Looking it up on Google, yeah, you'll get a lot of results, but you won't even know where to start. If you look it up on YouTube, you'll get videos informing you about the Federal Reserve System that are very good videos as well. Usually if you type Federal Reserve into YouTube, the first video that comes back is by a gentleman that I know, James Yeager. It was a video called Fiat Empire, which I think is one of the best videos made about the Federal Reserve System. And James did a great job on that film. So I highly encourage people to look at that film if they're newcomers to information about the Federal Reserve System, the central bank here in the United States. But that's all I was telling people. And we didn't have a lot of time. We were trying to go home. And I just said, well, let's get a few of these flyers out. Let's tell people to look up the Federal Reserve on YouTube to learn more about it. And then we'll head back to the house so Barb could have gotten some rest and then go to work that night. After we had finished handing the flyers out, not while we were handing the flyers out, Park Police came over to us because the Liberty Bell location is considered a historic park in Philadelphia. And these federalized police came over to us and demanded that we not hand any flyers out to people and said we would need a permit in order to engage people with that information. They said that to us. They said you would have to go and get a permit in order to do what you're doing. I said, excuse me? And I was very calm about it. I said, you're telling me that I need to pay the government for permission to engage in the freedom of speech and the freedom of press. Is that what you're telling me? And he said, yes, that's what I'm telling you. And I said, well, you're incorrect, sir. You are incorrect. I said, maybe that's what your superiors told you and told you to do, but that's not correct. I'm not going to admit that that's correct because it isn't. I said, I very clearly and calmly asserted that I have a natural right to speak to other people with voice or with words on a page. And that cannot be taken by man. I said, that is an inalienable right of humankind. And I said, I'm quite frankly offended that you would even tell me that I need a permit to do this. I've done this at least 20 other times, and no one has ever said a word to me, which is proof that this is part of the increasing control that they're trying to take. They want to throw whatever they can up against the wall and see what sticks, what people will take, because not saying no is tacitly saying yes. Mm-hmm. And they got an earful of no from me that day. And I started very, very calmly. Later, I wasn't so calm, and I was really raising my voice after what happened, but I'll get to that in a moment. I was simply engaging people with free speech. That's it, which is, one, people need to understand, is a natural right which cannot be alienated from man by any other group of men, women, at all. No one can tell someone that they may not speak or that they may not give people information. I mean, really, folks, if you don't understand that, I feel really bad for you. I feel very sorry for you, because that's the true closing down of a once free society. When they're telling you, when they're starting to tell you, you may not speak anymore. You need permission from us to speak, and we might give it to you and we might not give it to you. You'll have to petition us, beg us for this right, and pay us for it. That's what he was saying. He was telling you. He was telling not just me. He was telling all of America. He was telling you that in order to speak, you would need to pay the government to speak. That's what was being said to everyone in America on May 18th in Philadelphia by the federal government. Now, before you think that's blowing this out of proportion, I can't imagine how it could be any other way. If you're telling someone you need permission to hand pieces of information to other people, that's somebody telling you you have to go and pay somebody and ask them if you are allowed to do this, and they might give you the permit, or they might say, no, permit denied, you can't do this. Imagine, this is where we're at in America, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I calmly told him that I was peacefully exercising our rights to free speech and free press as we were walking through the area and leaving. And first of all, this is something that has already happened. You're here after the fact. I'm not doing this now. We were on the edge of this area, the Liberty Bell area, and we were getting ready to leave. So I had like a few flyers left in my hand from, you know, people. Certain people took them, certain people didn't. We had a couple left over, and we were leaving. We were stopped as we were leaving after this occurred. And I said, well, people already have the information. There's not, you can't reverse time. It's, this is done already. And I said, and they said, well, I'm letting you know you need a permit to do this. And I said, well, I'm letting you know that I don't need a permit to do this because I have a natural right to do this as a free human being. And secondly, your own legal system, your own law system, which you say as a federal officer you swore an oath to protect, is the United States, the Constitution of the United States of America, which in the First Amendment clearly and very unambiguously states that no law shall be made abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. And this is what you're doing. I said, you're quoting me some very obscure federal regulation, some number that he rattled off. And I said, you would expect me to accept that some obscure federal regulation trumps the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, to the Constitution, which guarantees and protects the freedom of speech and press, the natural rights of freedom of speech and press. They're not granted to people by the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. They are guaranteed and protected by the First Amendment. Meaning that these rights exist inherently in nature, and man did not grant them to other people. And he said, yes, this regulation means you need a permit to do this. And I said, again, well, no, it does not. You are incorrect. I said, you can believe that all you want, but it'll never make it true. And they didn't like that I stood up for my rights. I could see they were getting increasingly angry that someone was telling them that they were wrong. And when a bully who just wants to have control is being told what you're doing is wrong, the next thing that he does is resort to violence. So resorting to violence, because I asked them repeatedly, I said, I want you to tell me. Look, me and my wife are finished what we were doing. Anyway, we want to go on our way. She has to work tonight. I want to leave. And they said, you're not free to leave. I was told directly to my face, you are not free to walk away from us. I said, excuse me. I want you to tell me who I have harmed that you have any right to keep me here or do any investigation into me, who I am, or anything, or to keep me here and impede my progress of free movement. I want to know what you are claiming that I have done wrong. Who have I harmed? Who have I defrauded? Whose property have I damaged or stolen? And they admitted, they said directly to me, and I have witnesses that they said this, no one. You haven't done anything wrong against anyone else. You're not free to go because we're going to write you a citation for having handed out those tickets, having handed out those flyers. And I said, I did nothing wrong. I want to be allowed to go on my way. And they said, you're not free to leave. And then three of them came up from behind us, four of them actually, came up from behind me and my wife and put handcuffs on us. Stop our freedom of movement, because they disagree. They were angry and resorted to this violence, violating our right to freedom of movement, freedom of speech, and freedom of press. Because I stood up for that right and asserted and declared that I have that right regardless of what any federal regulation might state that was written down that is first and foremost against the laws of morality and against the laws of nature. It's against my natural right as a human being to speak and to give information to others who want to take it from me. And secondly, it is against their own highest law of the land that is written by man, the Constitution of the United States of America. And what they were doing was unlawful and unconstitutional. And I use the term unlawful, meaning against natural law. Violation of my rights. Now we were assaulted and harmed. Now the wrong actually was starting to be done by them against us. They were the criminals. They were the people who committed the wrong. They were the people who violated other people's natural rights by stopping our movement, claiming that they could stop our freedom of speech and press, and holding us there against our will under duress.
Yeah, what you did had no victims. What they were doing had victims.
That's right. We were victims. We were assaulted. When you stop someone from proceeding on their way and hold them against their will, under coercion, against their will, I've been assaulted. My wife's been assaulted. And at least for me, they used a form of torture. It's a subtle form of torture. You can look it up. When they applied the cuffs, they deliberately applied them in a single locked fashion instead of double locking them, in which case they cannot grip up on your wrists and cut off blood flow to the hands and do damage to nerves. They deliberately, I told them, upon putting them on, these cuffs aren't applied correctly. I'm actively being hurt now. You are hurting me. You are harming me. I cannot feel my hands. My hands are going numb. I said, now I raised my voice because I was saying, our rights have been violated. These gentlemen have no right to do this. And I now really raise my voice. And when I raise my voice, I used to be a singer in the past. My voice is actually still a little bit gruff from how loud I yelled last week. I don't need a megaphone to speak to a large group of people. I don't need a microphone or a PA system. If I want to raise my voice, believe me, I can raise my voice. Okay? So I raised my voice as loudly as I could and just started telling people all around, your rights are being actively violated. Our constitutionally protected free speech and free press rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution are actively being violated. We were assaulted by these people. They have no right to keep us here. We were peacefully engaged in free speech and free press, which is a natural right and which is a right that is guaranteed by the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. And I was yelling this as loudly as I could. About 100 people gathered around and were watching the incident take place. And they were looking at the police like they were very, very angry at what was going down. And many of them spoke out and were saying, telling the people, that they should be ashamed of themselves. Also, a supposed peace officer from the city of Philadelphia stood there and witnessed the whole thing and did nothing. And he is criminally negligent in his duties because he witnessed someone being assaulted and stood there and did nothing. And I told him, you have witnessed an assault. As a peace officer, do your duty and put a stop to this. And he stood there and did nothing because he considers these people superior to him because they're federalized police from the Park Service. So that's the federal government level. And that's where this is all coming down from. Again, centralization of power. They want the highest concentration of power at the federal level. So that's why they're making laws to restrict and abridge freedom of speech and the press at the federal level, which is unconstitutional and it is unlawful against natural law. So they forced us to the ground, would not even allow us to continue to stand on our feet, forced us forcefully to the ground, which is more assault. After slapping cuffs on us, you are now forcing us to the ground. Illegally searched me against my Fourth Amendment protected natural right to be secure in my person and property. when I told them I don't consent to any searches, I've done nothing wrong, took my wallet out of my pocket against my will and took an ID from that wallet and then ran whatever check that they were doing and were writing citations for hundreds of dollars for exercising a natural right. And people were just telling them they should be ashamed of themselves. There was a woman there who was a descendant of one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, witnessed this. Now, how synchronistic could you possibly get? Think about that for a minute. How synchronistic could it get that in the home of freedom, where this country was born, where we declared our independence from the tyrannical King of England and wrote the declaration, and the men who wrote that Declaration of Independence signed it, and in doing so, essentially signed their death warrant against this other sick tyrannical regime that came across an ocean to oppress the people of this land. In outside of the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence was signed, one of the descendants of one of the signers of the Declaration was present to witness this happening. She was a descendant of Robert Treat Paine. Robert Treat Paine was one of the representatives from Massachusetts who signed the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia. And this woman was, I believe she said, her great-great-great-granddaughter, his great-great-great-grand, or great-great-great-great-granddaughter. She came to Philadelphia that day to bring her son there to see Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence was signed. And during that day of tourism in Philadelphia, this is what she witnessed. A natural right of humanity being violated directly because the federal government is claiming we don't have that right. We need to pay them permission to exercise it. This is how far America has fallen. And these thugs, that's what they are. They're criminals. These police, no one should respect anything they do. They're criminals. These are criminals that are free and still out there doing this quote-unquote job. These are criminals that should be jailed. They should be imprisoned at the very least for what they have done. And believe me, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure they're arrested, to make sure that they are arrested and criminal charges will be filed against each one of them personally. I'm not going to go after their department. I will file criminal charges that they will have to fight in a court of law against each one of them personally. So I'll turn their whole apparatchik against them, because their charges will be brought against them for assault, for unlawful arrest, for violating our First Amendment constitutionally protected rights to free speech and press, for violating my Fourth Amendment constitutionally protected right against illegal searches and seizures. And to add insult to injury, after all this happened, after all of this occurred, I discover money missing from my wallet after they return it to me and I walked away from the scene. Wow. So I was directly stolen from, to add insult to injury. In addition to stealing my rights, in addition to stealing my freedom of movement and my wife's rights and freedom of movement, now you stole, even had to rub it in by stealing property from me. And property was also stolen from me in the form of the flyers, which they took and would not give back to me. And there was only a few, but I still paid to have those printed with my own money, my own resources. Would not return my stolen property. And to, again, to add insult to the whole event, stole money from me. This is where we're at in America, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't understand that this is part of a policy, this is part of a pattern, it is a deliberate effort, and they are hiring people who they are psychologically profiling to have low IQs and to have psychopathic tendencies. This is what the whole police system, especially at the federal level, is doing. They psychologically profile people before they take them on and hire them in their institutional bodies, like federal police, FBI, not necessarily FBI, but the Department of Homeland Security, certainly. Okay? And things like the Park Police, the FDA, because they have federalized police, the DEA, etc. They are profiling psychologically police who have low IQs, and their ostensible reason for this not is we want people who are basically intellectually challenged so they won't question their orders, because that's the real reason. But their ostensible reason is if we hire people that are too intellectually advanced, they will get bored of police work and quit, and we'll have a high turnover rate of people quitting and coming in, a high revolving door rate. That's their ostensible claim for why they say there's a cutoff line for how high of an IQ you can have to do police work in America.
They just want people like that lady that worked for the Federal Reserve.
Right.
They want people that will, even though they know they're doing wrong, they'll still do it.
And that does have to do with how smart someone is. How truly intelligent they are. Not just intellectual capacity, but true intelligence. Because when the right brain is shut down, you don't have intelligence. You might have intellect in the left brain, but you have no real intelligence, because intelligence comes from intellect and gens, creativity, intuition. That's what the word gens in intelligence comes from, genere in Latin. Genere is a verb meaning to create or to make.
To generate.
To generate, exactly. Genere, to generate, correct. To create, to make, to generate. So if you don't have the generative side of the brain, the creative, the nurturing, the feminine side of the brain, the part of the brain that has common sense and can see patterns and can intuit things, can understand things from an intuitive point of view, you're not intelligent. You might have left brain intellect and you could follow procedures and orders, but that doesn't mean you're intelligent. As a matter of fact, it means the exact opposite, that you're not intelligent at all. Because intelligent comprises both of those dynamics, both of those capacities, left brain logical and also right brain intuitive and creative. And people with low IQs, like they're hiring, certainly don't have true intelligence. They're hiring them because they feel that they will be good order followers and never philosophically challenge unlawful orders. And this is why that's being done. And I was telling people that had gathered around once I started raising my voice and calling attention to this incident in front of a statue of Thomas Jefferson and the Liberty Bell at Independence Mall, I was telling them whose rights have been violated here today. Not just mine, not just my wife's, yours. Your rights, the rights of your children, have been violated. This is the society you want to see for your children. A police state is what it is. And, you know, I keep asking people, you want to know the people you need to reach? Do you want to know the people you need to reach? You need to reach people who will follow such orders, police. That's who has to have their mind changed about what they're doing and converted into a moral person. And that's going to be a tall order from where these people's brain is at and where their heart is at right now. So we need to start speaking up about this, not being silent about it, telling people this isn't going to stand. This is criminal activity that will not stand in our midst. We need to be educated about our rights, first and foremost, to know what a right is and what a right is not. Then they told me, I'll add this. They told me that they were going to give me a citation, a violation for doing this without a permit. And I said, no, you're not. I'm not taking it from you. Just like I can't force a flyer into someone's hand, you can't force a ticket into mine. I'm not taking it no matter what you do. I said, you can haul me away, do more violence to me. I'm not taking that ticket from your hand, no matter what you do. And they read this long spiel to me about how I did a violation by not getting a permit. And then they asked the question, which they always ask, do you understand? And I said, I looked them right in the eyes and said, no, I do not. No, I do not understand. And you could see all the so-called posturing and power vanishes in an instant from these people who know that they were morally wrong. And I stated over and over when they had us on the ground, you know you're morally wrong. You know you're in the wrong. You're all in the wrong, and you all know it.
I think that's the part I have recorded, because somehow your phone called my cell phone, and it recorded about 4 minutes of what was happening, and that's the stuff I heard.
And you talk about synchronicity. Yes. My phone was in the back of my rear pants pocket, and I don't usually keep my phone there. When I'm carrying my phone, I usually keep it in my either left or right side pants pocket in the front. I had my wallet in the one side, and I had a folded up bag, because I carried hundreds of flyers to the conference. I'm sorry, to the rally earlier. And I needed a bag to carry them because, you know, we handed out probably thousands of flyers that day. So I had a full bag of flyers. And by the end of the day, I had this tiny little stack, which we decided to finish at the Liberty Bell. God forbid, exercise free speech at the Liberty Bell. The bag, this cloth bag, like a cloth shopping bag, I had folded up in my other right side pants pocket. So I moved my phone to my rear pocket that day, which I don't usually do. And when they forced me to the ground, and I sat on the ground, I was sitting on the ground, I must have pocket dialed you from that position, which I don't even know how that would be possible. But somehow I called Ivan. His number's in my phone. I mean, that's unbelievable synchronicity. Out of all people that I could have called, I pocket dialed you from a sitting position when this happened. I mean, I can't even believe it.
And I didn't answer. I had the volume down, so it went to voicemail and recorded.
It was recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you would have picked it up, that would have gotten recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is also recorded on video. I'm going to try. There's a bit of personal information that was given by Barb on that video that we want to edit out. That's why I haven't released it right away. I have to do a little bit of video editing on it and just knock out a small patch here and there so as not to share information that Barb does not want shared.
Of course, right.
Yeah. So when I do that, I'm going to be releasing the full video. So but in any event, there's been developments since then. Okay. So I wouldn't take the citation, and I said, I want my ID back and I want to be allowed to go on my way. They took the cuffs off. I have nerve damage in my hand, ladies and gentlemen. So something quite possibly that is permanent may have been done to me as well, which these people had no right to do. And they'll be taken up on criminal charges on that as well. So I'm going to be talking to several people to start litigation. And believe me, they're all going to find out that they messed with the wrong human being who knows their rights. Because I may or may not be able to put them in the big house, but I will put them in the poorhouse. Because the amount of money that they'll have to spend fighting the charges I'm going to bring against them, I hope they're very wealthy, is all I have to say. Because I'll hurt them where their value system is. In their paper god.
Mm-hmm.
That's their value system. That's what you care about. So then that's where balance will have to be brought by taking that as much of that away from you as possible. And here's the great thing. The great thing is is that, one, I woke up hundreds of people who walked through Independence Mall that day with my voice and just witnessing what occurred. So I want to thank these psychopathic people for helping me to do that, because I couldn't have reached that many people and woken them up to what's going on in America on my own. So thank you, first and foremost, to these so-called police that are nothing more than criminals. Thank you for helping me to wake up other people. Again, I could not have reached that many people by myself on that day, and thank you for helping me to wake up more people through recounting this story over and over again, which I will be.
And that,
so
that's...
you're helping me do the work that I need to do, so thank you. Secondly, after this occurred, they told me a warrant was going to be issued for my arrest if I did not take the citation from them. Now you're telling me I'm doing another wrong by refusing to take a ticket from you, not taking a piece of paper from someone else. You're telling, and we don't think that we're in slavery. We don't think that's bondage. That's not slavery. You're commanding me to take something from you when I've done nothing wrong. And you're saying if I don't take it from you when I know I've done nothing wrong, that you're going to arrest me, issue a warrant for my arrest. Really? And I tell people, if this happened to us, it's you next. And I don't care what I was speaking about. I don't care if you love the Federal Reserve System and think it's necessary. I could have been speaking for abortion, against abortion, for gay marriage, against gay marriage. I don't care what cause or what form of speech that this took. I had a right to take that form of speech. And so do you. No matter what your cause or belief system is, you have a right to speak. And even if I totally disagree with what you say, I would die for your right to say it. Because that's a natural right that I don't want taken away from humanity. We got to start understanding you need to protect speech that you do not agree with. So after this occurred, and I took my ID and walked away without taking the ticket, I would not take it from them. I said, no, I do not understand, and I'm not taking that from you. And every instance that they tried to get me to say I understood, you have to say, no, I do not understand. If you know you're in the right, I do not understand. They're asking you, do we have power over you? Do you stand under us and our so-called authority? And I said, no, I do not. That's the lost word, no. You want to reclaim all your power and stop externalizing it? Fall in love with the word no. So after this occurred, a few days later, we get certified letters from the Department of the Interior, who runs the Park Service. And in the letter, it states, all so-called violations are voided for both of you. Barb got one and I got one. So what their department just did, what their bosses just did, what their owners just did, the people whose orders they follow, is threw them under the bus. This is how much your owners love you, because they don't want to make a national issue of something like this. And guess what? It's already done. Mm-hmm. Because they messed with the wrong person. You screwed up, gentlemen. You screwed up. You pick somebody that has a semi-national voice, that also has connections with other people who have more semi-national voices than he does. And this story is eventually going to go viral. And I guarantee you they got an ear lashing for that. What were you thinking? This is going to wake more people up than anything I could have done on my own. And they know it, which is why they would not want me to go into their court system. They want ignoramuses in their court system that don't know their rights, that kowtow to them and would bow down and say that they understood. They don't want somebody like me in their court system and everybody knows that I have done nothing wrong. Because I stand and walk in righteousness, and I know the difference between right and wrong, and that's where all power lies. They don't want somebody like that coming into their court system and giving all their employees an earful. Because I'd wake up people in their court system. who would recognize what a tyranny this place is becoming and what they're a part of, and they would start to think twice about continuing to do that job.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good strategic move on the part of the federal government not pursuing this anymore. But guess what? To all those park police who are going to be having to spend a whole lot of your paper god fighting the charges that are going to be brought against you, you just got thrown under the bus, boys. You just got thrown under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much your owners care about you. They don't give a rat's ass about you. You're used. You're used and abused like a cheap whore. That's what's being done to you. That's how much self-respect you have, that you'll continue to stay in that position that insults your soul and just say, I'll be used and abused. Just give me my paper god. And for anybody who thinks that's harsh and is offended by that, go right ahead and get as all offended as you like, because that's true, is what it is. These people are prostituting themselves. Continuing, and guess what? It's a very big insult to prostitutes. I apologize, because at least they do honest work that is voluntary on the part of both parties. Okay? It's consensual. So let me retract that statement and say I don't compare them to prostitutes, which I consider an honest profession. Whether I would engage in any activity like that is beyond the point. At least these people are doing something that is voluntary and consensual, whereas what these park people are doing is total violence, violating other people's rights against their will, which prostitutes don't do.
Mm-hmm.
What they are is good little house slaves. They are people who are in the cage themselves.
They're pets.
That's it. They're a lap dog. A lap dog that barks on command, walks on command, sits on command, and attacks on command. That's it. And that's how their owners see them. And when they're done using them, because all they're doing is animating a uniform, they don't care who's in that uniform. They just care that you're stupid enough to be in it. When they're done using them, under the bus you go, boys. And that's what just happened to you by your owners. So that's the level of self-respect you have. That's the level of order following you want to participate in and then claim repeatedly, trying to claim to me, to my face, that you're just doing your job. No, you're not. You're violating other people's rights. You're doing wrongs. You're committing crimes. You are committing crimes. That's not part of your job description, to commit crimes. I don't care what this federal regulation says. It's unlawful. And if you're just following orders, you can't possibly be following conscience. And this goes for police, this goes for military, this goes for anybody in government. If you are following orders and you're not exercising your ability to think for yourself and come to conclusions about whether an action is right or wrong, all you're doing is following an order, and you cannot, by definition, possibly be engaged in conscience. It's an impossibility. One precludes the other. If you are following conscience, by definition, you are not following someone else's orders. And if you are following someone else's orders, by definition, you cannot be exercising conscience. The two things are antithetical. They are polar opposites. They are diametrically opposed to each other.
They've given up their dominion, like I said earlier, your dominion.
To someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, I'll do what you say, and I won't think about what's right and wrong just to receive a paycheck. And that's the excuse called, I'm just doing my job. No, you are not just doing your job. No, you are not just doing your job. No, you are not. You are committing a crime. You are doing a wrong. You personally will and must be held accountable, will and must be held accountable when you do a crime that is a form of violence against another person, which is what was done to us. Our rights were violated. And a violation of someone's rights is called violence. They did the violence. They initiated the violence by stopping us, throwing us in cuffs, hurting me, physically hurting me, possibly permanently. And my left hand is the hand that I do work that I do to make a living, to be able in a moral capacity in helping other people with computer issues and problems that they are having, and in tutoring people in computers, which is what I do to be able to survive to make some Federal Reserve notes. I'm a computer technician and tutor. That's not what I am. I mean, that's what I do for Federal Reserve.
Right. Yeah.
So the main instrument for me doing this work is my left hand. I am left-handed. I use the mouse with my left hand to make my livelihood. And I type a lot during the day on the computer. And now this whole process, I can still engage in it, but it's diminished. It feels weird. It feels different. You know, it's like somebody shot you up with Novocaine. You know, when they shoot you up with Novocaine before they do dental work, you can't feel your mouth. This is what the back of my hand feels like. I can't feel a part of my body anymore. Something has been taken from me that someone had no right to take. The nerve.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want to say before we wrap up is, anyone hearing this story, that it does not make you feel angry. Something has been stolen from you. I'm not telling you to stay in an enraged mode, in an enraged mindset all day long. But upon hearing this, if you are not angered, if the emotion, the emotional response of anger does not come into your physical body upon hearing this story, there is something fundamentally broken inside of you. And again, get as offended about it as you like. I don't really care who thinks that that's not true, because it's true. They have stolen the ability to feel the proper emotional response in the body. Because in hearing this account, if you do not understand that you have been robbed from, you have been stolen from, your rights have been violated. Violence was not just done to me. Violence was done to you. If you do not understand and feel that in the body, healing is required. A lot of healing is required. There is something fundamentally wrong with you that has been taken from you over time. You have been numbed to being able to feel the proper emotional response in the body.
You have a disconnect from your humanity.
That's correct. And I'm not telling you, get all angry and do nothing with that anger and just let it hurt your body. That's not what I am saying at all. Do not misconstrue my words. I'm talking about proper righteous indignation, feeling anger over an injustice that has taken place is the proper emotional response when injustice is taking place. See, this is why they have things like the New Age movement, to try to keep people calm all the time and never let them feel anger. They want you in that imbalanced condition where you're always thinking everything is okay. No, it is not. This is not okay. This was not okay. I am not okay. I am violated and I have been harmed physically for doing nothing but speaking to others, which is a natural right that we are actively losing, and that I consider the line in the sand. That we cannot allow to be crossed. If you don't feel the proper emotional response of righteous anger, you yourself need deep healing. And your brain and your heart need to be brought to a place of balance through work upon yourself. When the New Age movement and other liars try to get people to say you should never get angry, they are deceiving you. There is a proper role for anger. Otherwise, we would not be able to feel it. And that is to light a fire under your ass and motivate you to right action when you see an injustice being done. That is, may not be directly physically affecting you right now, But if you sit and do nothing and you don't speak up about it, it will be soon. It will be you next. That's all I have to say today, Ivan. I mean, I really appreciate the opportunity of you giving me the floor on your fine radio show and allowing me to come on and talk about a little bit with people about what's going on in our world in the larger sense, in the sense of the big picture, the big pattern, and also recounting this personal experience to them, which I hope really wakes a few people up. So thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, you're welcome, Mark. And that's we just brought it back to where we started. That one of the first things I asked you was, how does your information, how can people see what you're talking about in the real world? And there you go. Every day when you watch the news about people being arrested, assaulted, and you see it down the block in your neighborhood, those are the things, those are the signs that people need to be aware of, that it's happening to them, but that's happening to you too. It just hasn't happened physically to you yet, but that's the same prison we're all in right now.
That's correct. Very, very well said.
Yep. All right, Mark, thank you very much. I know initially you said only an hour or so, but we're about an hour and 45 minutes. So I'll split this recording on two CDs to hand out. But I should have this online sometime later on today. And for listeners, thanks for listening. Mark, hopefully sometime in the near future we can do this again with more information.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank
check,
you very
check
much
out for, my website, folks, right. whatonearthishappening.com. And my recommendation to newcomers, start with the podcasts. Go to the podcast tab, listen, go back to number one, episode number one, and listen forward in order at your own pace, as this is a tapestry of information meant to be taken as a whole. So if you have the will to do that and to listen in order, a whole new way of seeing things will open up for you if you approach the information with an open mind. Ivan, thank you so much again.
All right. Thank you, Mark. All right, folks. That concludes episode 3 of Guy Next Door Speaks. I'm Ivan from Phoenix, and my website's freeyourmindaz.com. And I will catch you guys next time. Thank you.